Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Awake All Hours, the podcast dedicated to all corners of electronic music and club culture with me, Ali Chester, and my mates and my co-hosts, as always, as ever, Will Edwards and George Stamp. Hello, boys. How are you today?
Hello, hello.
Howdy. I'm
doing well.
Not too bad. How are you?
Cracking, thanks, mates. Glad that you're well, and I'm also well. Thanks for asking. Lovely to be joined by you, as always, on this fine evening. It's November, this crisp November, dark, wintry evening.
Not very crisp.
How are you settling into winter? It's not very crisp there. What's it like with you, mate, in New Cross?
Pretty miserable and rainy today, really, isn't it? I don't know, maybe in Bristol, you've got all the crispness in Bristol, but round here, not crisp at all, mate.
Stop hogging all the crispness, Ali. Can't have all of it.
By crisp, I meant quite cold and equally miserable. It has also been just misery as well, just here. But like a bit colder and crisper than before. It's probably too soon calling the crisp card, to be fair. You need to wait for some nice frost.
I feel like crisp is quite different from cold. I mean, it is cold, but it's more like a biting cold, you know? I feel like wet cold is different to crisp.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a biting cold, but usually accompanied with quite a lot of sun as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The sun is crucial.
You need sun for crisp.
Mm. Yeah. So, to rewind, how are you doing on this absolutely miserable November? First day of November. This horrible, horrible, dingy poo day of November. How's it going?
Yeah, doing all right, thanks.
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad.
Good.
Plugging through, you know.
Plugging through, yeah, winter is upon us. The clocks have gone whichever direction they've gone. That through, I don't know if you guys found yourself in a club or out past midnight on Saturday, but caused all kinds of ruckus in my brain, the clocks moving forward. But yeah, I mean, it's been all right. It's been good. I hope you have been treated well by this sort of fairly miserable start to November. Dear listener, wherever you are tuning in from, hopefully it's crisp where you are actually properly crisp and not kind of dingy and miserable. That's what we're hoping for anyway. But thank you so much for joining us. You were listening to episode 60 no less of Awake All Hours. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a big one for us, fellas. 60th, we have made it. Another little humble milestone in the Awake All Hours journey. But thank you as ever for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. It means a huge deal that you have stuck it out, if you have stuck it out with us for 60 episodes, whether you're an old timer, whether you're new around here. Thank you, welcome, and stick around because we love having you. You're always welcome. This is the podcast, like I said, dedicated to all corners of electronic music and club culture, where we, us three merry lads, try to wade through an endless torrent of electronic beats, sort of bi-weekly, fortnightly-ish, not always exactly fortnightly, but fortnightly-ish. And we're getting pretty damn good at that at this point in time. We sit, we chat. You know the drill if you've been around with us for a while, but if you haven't, welcome. And like I say, you know, we've got a lovely show in store for you today. This episode, which may be going out as 60.1 for reasons to be discussed later, is business as usual, normal order of ceremonies. We have got a little special bit of business potentially in the pipeline as well to kind of coincide with this episode, or sort of act as a kind of like sister episode, but more on that later probably. And yeah, you'll know if that kind of has popped up and has dropped and you're listening to it. But yeah, in the meantime, welcome to our regular programming, just for the 60th time. You know what to expect: album reviews, discussions on little talking points from within the scene, and a section we like to call What's in My Bandcamp Basket, where we round up all our favourite more kind of club ready little 12s, EPs, compilations, oddities, DJ tools, all of that business. So yeah, we try and cover a little something of everything. But yeah, it's that show today. In album reviews, we've got Sudan Archives, we've got Soft Pink Truth and Ariel Zatina, and then a little kind of shout outs roulette as well, maybe with like other records from 96 back: Isabella, Love Story, Burial, Moyne, amongst others, if we get around to it. Guys, firstly, a little plug that must be done. We have an event coming up on the 10th of December. We've talked about it in passing a couple of times before. Word Colour, Air Code, Angeli, and George as St. Amph are descending along with us upon Avalon Cafe on December the 10th for a good old party. And it's going to be a good one. Early birds are available and shifting steadily. We've got a handful that remain. So snaffle one up fast if you want to join us for the bargain price of £6 plus booking fee on our end. Sorry about the booking fee. That's out of our hands, but that's for the overlords, RA, to decide. And then tickets got to £10. Still, you know, not too horrid. But we do appreciate the cost of living, etc., is high and difficult, and times are hard. So we've said before, we'll say it again. It goes without saying, if you are unwaged or on low income, or you know, any of the above, or just finding that the winter months are a little bit hard, then do hit us up directly and we can sort something out for sure. But yeah, it would be lovely to see as many of you down there as possible. Thank you to everybody who has supported thus far. Massively appreciate it. Means a huge amount. So yeah, other than that, if you're already listening to us, you know where to find us. But just in case, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Patreon as well. www.patreon.com/awakeallhours. If you wish to support the show, much appreciated. Thank you for your time and your support. Anyways, on with the show. Guys, anything that you want to chat about at the beginning? I suppose there's a couple of things. I know, George, you said you've been out clubbing and at a couple of notable events that you want to talk about quickly before we get going. Yeah?
Well, just one club night. I went to Fold on Saturday, returned to the mothership that is Fold for a friend's birthday party. And I went to a resistance night, which is one of Fold's sort of regular, like, residence focus like techno nights. The artists playing one of them was called Xavier, one of them's called Reaver. I think is probably one of the more well-known names on that bill as far as I could see. There were two others as well, but I have forgotten their names for the moment. One of the ones whose name I've forgotten was one of my favorite DJs I saw on the night. But it was basically just like a really great techno night, like really fun, really funky sounding, like loads of kind of like heavy kind of like kind of sort of ghetto tech style kind of techno, like just with like hip hop vocal samples and stuff like that. It was like really fun. I was feeling pretty exhausted for most of the night, to be honest, but I had a really fun time anyway. So shouts to Resistance for putting on a great party on Saturday on, you know, Halloween weekend, which is always a bit cursed, I think, for clubbing. And then yesterday I went to a gig and I went to see Mary Lattimore, the harpist, who uses like a bit of harp and a tiny bit of electronics as well. And she was really excellent as well. I saw her at 229, which is a venue on Great Portland Street in sort of central London. And it was really amazing. I would really recommend that anyone go see Mary Lattimore. Pretty transcendent stuff. And with support from an artist called Layla, who was also sounding really good as well. So yeah, those are my two bits of events catch up for today.
Lovely stuff. I am interested just to pause on what you mean by Halloween being a cursed time for clubbing, because I find that interesting. I would like to go into that a little bit more. Would you mind explaining, George Stapp?
Well, oh, interesting. Okay. I'm like, is this pushback?
Sorry to no. This isn't pushback. This is genuine intrigue. Not pushback at all. I would not sit here 60 episodes into our tenure and grill you.
I mean, like, I went to a pretty safe club for making sure the crowd is pretty sound for the most part. But you know, like, you know, I can anecdotally say that when we turned up, there was a man and his friend. One of them was dressed as like a Smurf trying to get into Fold. Right. And we were a bit like, oh, is the vibe in here going to be a bit cringe? And they got turned away or something, or they forgot their ID or something, so they didn't get into the club.
No Smurfs allowed.
But like, you know, it's that thing of like, do I want to be like...
No Smurfs.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Fold's famously strict on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it can maybe just attract a more, slightly more like rowdy or sort of a potentially belligerent sort of crowd. And I think, you know, that I like fancy dress. I'm not some fucking like Grinch of Halloween or whatever the Halloween equivalent of the Grinch is. I really enjoy it and I like house parties and dress up and things like that. But I think for sort of going out Halloween weekend, you know, it's a big one for like everyone. So it clubs can be packed, can be oversold, can be just a bit crap in terms of like the kind of clientele of the club. They might not be there for the tunes as such. They might just be there to be a bit horrible, which in my experience is sometimes true. But it wasn't on Saturday, but sometimes true. That's what I mean. Have you found this as well, Ali and Will?
that's truthfully the reason I was asked, because interesting. I was also out on Saturday, Halloween, well, sort of Halloween Eve, not really, but kind of unofficial Halloween Eve in Clubland, I suppose, particularly like on the weekend where it fell on Monday. Saw Eleanor Columbi and Nose Drip at Strange Brew with the Dirty Talk residents. And similarly, I was thinking to myself, I was like, yeah, Halloween certainly does give some noobs the pass to act in the noob-like way. And yeah, I hear what you're saying, George. Luckily, those people are kind of few and far between. Hey, I guess it's a free country. You know, you can come in all dressed up and prance about like a bit of a fool for a bit. But luckily, in this case as well, Nose Drip and Eleanor Columbi sort of nicely culled the noobs with their industrial techno and
the great noob cull of 2022.
Slamming EBM. They don't tend to stick around too long. But yeah, an interesting one. Halloween clubbing. Curious. I've not really dwelled to think on that too much. Will, how was your Halloween weekend? What did you get up to, pal?
Mine was pretty anticlimactic, to be fair. I was supposed to go to a party on Friday, but then I was just like, yeah, as I said, kind of ill and exhausted. So I was just like, I was the Grinch of Halloween this year and couldn't be bothered to go. So stayed in. And to be fair, yeah, I feel like I don't think I've ever been to a club for Halloween. And I think part of the reason why is because it just doesn't seem that appealing to me because of the aforementioned noobs that I'd expect to be present, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Like you say, it's a big one in the calendar, and I suppose it draws a lot of people out. You want a good time, fair play. You should be able to have a good time in your own way, respectfully, and behaving yourself reasonably, but... Bloody! Yeah,
I feel like part of the key point of being a noob is that it's not respectful.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, no, it's each to their own, but not if you're being a noob. Definitely, and it does tend to bring them out of the woodwork a little bit.
It's
when you can get behind a mask, isn't it? It's when people can dress up as, I don't know, a cowboy. And then they can do whatever they want, apparently. They can act however they want. Yeah, hope that... Whoever is listening to this, hope your Halloween weekend was noob-free and that you enjoyed. Let us know your thoughts on clubbing on Halloween. It's an interesting one. We haven't dwelled to think on that one for a little while, so it's a good one to think about. It's a good one to think about. But yeah, hope you had a fun, spooky time, whatever you're up to. Also, on a slightly more serious topic, I suppose, I just wanted to bring this up because I think it's quite important to address it, because the two episodes ago, I think, or a couple of episodes ago, I mentioned that Oval Space was threatened. It was basically under threat. Do you know the outcome of this, guys?
No.
It's, to my knowledge, it has closed. Oh. And it has closed.
It has closed. Or it is closing.
It's closed.
Fucking hell. That's horrible. So swift.
And it's an interesting one. It says here, news, London, this is off Pitchfork on the 30th of September, this is one I pulled up, London club Oval Space shuts down. The popular East London club, and this is a weird one, so I don't necessarily want to dwell on this too long, but I just want to address it because I think it's more the fact of, I sort of hypothesized, was like, oh, there's maybe a few factors that could go into a club closing, and we said at the time it is really sad that any space should be shut down and, you know, sad that they're going to have its license revoked. But it's an odd one. The popular East London club and event space can appeal the license revocation, which follows an alleged shooting on the dance floor.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
Surely, that's so strange. I would have thought that would be bigger, like the shooting itself would be bigger news.
Yeah.
You know, like you, like, so, yeah. Surely that doesn't happen often in London clubs. Like, you know, they search on the way in and stuff, albeit not that thoroughly, but like, you know, like, and also guns here aren't that common.
No.
So like, I'm so surprised that that's been revealed like so late in the day. or like hasn't garnered more press. That's just really odd.
No, this, I mean, this is also reported on the 30th of September and we're now in November. And again, at the time, I completely missed this context. Like, again, only a couple episodes ago, I think probably after this had even been published, surely, if the timings line up.
Right.
We're hypothesizing about what it could have been, but I didn't see this anywhere. No. It was only after kind of digging and sort of thinking, oh, I wonder what happened with that, that I kind of discovered this. Says staple of London's music circuit had its license revoked after a man was allegedly shot on the dance floor last month. Mixmag and Resident Advisor report. So again, must have just completely missed that. And I hold my hands up to that. 24-year-old victim was reportedly shot again on a street near the venue, but his injuries, you know what? Let's not, there's no need to divulge into that detail. I think it's clear it's here. And I think the reason I wanted to raise this is more a sort of to just highlight the situation and what has actually happened and maybe raise it as a bit of a discussion, because I say it doesn't seem that this has had much discourse around it. It doesn't seem like the actual event, the shooting, which is obviously tragic. I don't know what situation. It says it seems that it's not life threatening, so that's at least positive, but just a kind of mad story. Very, very weird. Very weird. So I don't quite know what to do with or how to feel about that at the moment. I guess just to report on that and sort of bring the context into the, like I say, the kind of hypothesizing of a couple of episodes ago is the main intention there. But you can read the story and you may already have known about this, but probably something to kind of just think about and make your own mind up. But yeah, just sorry state of affairs and a kind of just sort of messy, tragic state of affairs all around, really. Grim news. But I guess to put a positive spin on things, not that, but just things in general, two new club spaces opening up. Two new club spaces opening up. George, you've got one in Brixton opening up down the road from you, haven't you?
Yeah, low-key.
Care to divulge on that one a little bit?
I don't know that much about it, to be honest. It's about halfway between my house and Spanners, which for context is about halfway between the centre of Brixton and like Loughborough Junction, for anyone who's intimately familiar with South London. I don't know the exact building it's being in, but I can sort of picture where it is on the street. So it's like very, it's very kind of like local, kind of central. It's, you know, like, it's not quite as high street-y as Phonox, but like, yeah, I think location-wise, it's kind of exciting. It's like just a little bit tucked out the way, but also not so far from the center of town that, you know, people will have to like traipse for ages to find it. Unlike some venues in South London, venue MOT. so
venue MOT send.
Yeah. Nah, I love venue MOT, just kidding. Apparently it's had like a massive opening and stuff. I mean, I haven't heard about anyone going that I know, but like apparently like the acts they got for the first couple of events were like pretty big and they were doing £1 entry party and stuff like that. So I'd be interested to know how that's gone down. It's a shame I don't know anyone who went, because I'd be interested to hear it like anecdotally. But yeah, really interesting. Like I thought, I don't know, like Brixton, funny place.
Very exciting.
To surprise us.
Very exciting. And where I'm at in Bristol, we've got Greenworks that's just opened, which is a new kind of warehouse space in Brislington that is run by Green King Sound System, a quite a established, sort of legendary, well-known sound system in the city. It's in the sort of back end of nowhere. There's no sound restrictions and it's run by rootsy sound system folk who know the city, who know the culture, which is really exciting. So I'm hoping to check that out on Friday for a free party they're putting on. So I will report back next episode. But yeah, so as one sort of sorry state of affairs and club closes, another one, another two open. And maybe that is the circle of club life and that we have to kind of come to accept that these spaces, I think we had conversation before, they're temporary, things happen, some come, some go.
I was just thinking, is he about to say, and maybe it's the circle of life, and then you did. Oh, beautiful.
The circle of club life.
Circle of club life. I stand corrected. Just a slight...
club life. Alas, it's the way of things. It's a weird old place. But yeah, Anyways, I think that that is about it for kind of news and bits and pieces at the beginning talking point. We've got a lot of music to get stuck into. Yeah, let's dive in. Can we start with, where would you like to start, guys? Any preference?
I'm easy.
I'm pretty easy as well. Soft Pink Truth.
Sudan Archives?
Sudan Archives. I have a little less to contribute to the Sudan Archives review. But I will do what I bet. I'll do what I can. I'll do my best.
Yeah, no worries. I'll put this one first just because of its sort of commercial heft, I suppose. Mm. Definitely in terms of, you know, of the three that we're covering. It's also an album. This is Sudan Archives with Natural Brown Prom Queen. It is an album that came out a little while ago now, about 2 months, beginning of September. Slipped my radar kind of completely when it came out. And I just caught some, not really whispers, but actually some quite loud noises from various press and publications, positive noises about this album in recent kind of months. So it recently got an RA Recommend stamp. It got a Pitchfork 9. It's currently, well, last time I checked, which was yesterday, the 8th highest ranked album on Metacritic of 2022. So in the top 10 albums of 2022, along with Beyonce, Rosalia, etc. Which again, I mean, you know, make of that what you will, I guess. And, you know, but it's been, there's been noises, there's been rumblings from a lot of the right place, I suppose. This album is very noteworthy and worth checking out at the very least. So I thought, we've got to cover it. If we missed it, no worries. We'll just make sure we cover it and make up for lost time on this one. And I am really interested to get stuck into this, I've got to say. I'm really interested to get stuck into this one. Sudan Archives is not an artist that I knew very well at all. Come My Way, that is a big tune, big anthem. Those violins, amazing. Very talented violinist as well. Sudan Archives, as well as vocalist, composer, producer, songwriter, to my understanding. So I was kind of going into this with just kind of blank slate feelings, like, you know, just going in kind of like, okay, I know this artist by name. I know this artist. I know a kind of single of hers, and I'm just interested to see what this kind of buzz is about. Fellas, what's your sort of, I guess, entry point with Sudan Archives? A fan similar to me, like not really knowing too much about her work in the past, kind of going in with a clean slate. What are you kind of feeling with this one?
Yes. Ali, I was pretty much in the same boat as you. Come Away is the only tune that I'd heard. And I hadn't, like, it was only after going to this album that I remembered that tune. Because it, like, you know, when you're like, it was like playing through the album, and then when it got to the end, it like played that song. And then I was like, oh, that's this song. So I only did the maths right at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting also, because I can see in some ways, maybe more on this in a moment, how those two Come My Way, the sort of distance between Come My Way and, excuse me, this album are quite, there's quite a lot of, I mean, actual physical time. And also sound, I think, is relatively, I can see how that could happen, definitely. Like, I could totally see how that could happen. It's like, it's quite a different sounding Sudan Archives, I suppose, quite a different aesthetic, you know, on display since the time between Come My Way, I suppose. How about you, George?
Yeah, I first heard about Sudan Archives a few years ago. Like, a friend was listening to like one of her earlier EPs or albums or something, and like, she was always one of those artists I like meant to get into, but never quite got around to properly listening to her. And even now, I've still not quite got around to properly listening to her. So I'm like very much behind on the Sudan Archives hype train. I guess something I have noticed is that, yeah, like with Come My Way, like that song was quite like dubby and sort of quite like open sort of production style. Whereas this album, from what I gather, is just so like, you know, like there's so much more of that like commercial heft to it. Like you were saying, like that sort of, it's so much more stylized. It's so much more like polished as an album. And like, it's trying to do lots of things. And like, she as a figure has become someone who's a bit more of like a big personality, I think, from what I gather, in like terms of her, like just like social media and press and things like that. She's like a very colorful, like interesting presence in music. I do find her very interesting. But yeah, I'm like not, I'm not a convert by any means. I'm like yet to get there with her, really, yet to really digest. So yeah, maybe after hearing your guys' thoughts on this album, I'll give it more time and give her whole discography some time as well.
Yeah, I've had an interesting journey with this. I think the journey of convert, in fact, I've spun this a lot of times, lived with this album quite a bit over the weekend, and have really, really, really found myself enjoying it a lot. I am a massive fan of Sudan Archives or Brittany Denise Parks's Violins. I think that is, I mean, from, you know, like Come My Way, that's the sort of the big standout kind of feature, I think, maybe in that song, is those super iconic, super, super catchy kind of violins, quite sort of fraught, quite kind of wiry sort of violin tone. And it was super interesting to hear that she started playing like by ear, just learned the violin by ear, which is, from my understanding, the violin is like a notoriously really hard instrument to learn full stop. So to learn the violin by ear is quite the feat, and quite incredible. Just such a unique take on the violin, and it being such a centerpiece of her sound, I think is really unique, really standout, along with maybe more, you know, sort of kind of, yeah, modern neo soul R&B sort of sheen to that on this album, particularly, it seems. I found it pretty compelling, particularly when the music and the songs and the compositions are as good as they are on here, I think. Yeah, entry thought there, but how about you guys? Will, what are you feeling on this so far?
So yeah, I would say that I haven't had that much time to mull over this. I've only given it like a couple of listens, and it's one of those albums where, you know, it's hefty. It's like 18 tracks long. And there's like a lot to unpack. And I can tell it's probably gonna have, like, just from the first two listens, like, I can tell that, like, lyrically there's quite a lot of depth to it, like a lot to unpack there, which I haven't really had a chance to yet. But yeah, in terms of just like the sound of it, I think it sounds great. I love she has like a real great sort of like variety of vocals, and kind of like sometimes I'd be like some of the tracks, like one in particular, Yellow Brick Road, sounds a lot like No Name or someone like that, and then other times it's kind of like, but I don't know, it's a lot more the vocal, she's quite just very versatile, I suppose, and like yeah, a lot of comparisons. But I think for me, what I really liked, stood out the first time round, was sort of the more like seductive, slinkier tunes. They kind of grabbed me first. Sierra was one, and Freakalyzer. I love the like vocal, the auto tune on the vocals on that tune. And then the one after that, Homesick, has like a really cool like vocal effect on with like the echoes, and like it just sounds like so impactful. And that's the one with that like gorgeous and arrogance refrain, and it just kind of makes you take note. So yeah, I think the vocal performance throughout is pretty captivating, and like, yeah, it just sounds great. Like some of the bass lines on here, like the drums, like it can be like really tough at times as well, which I quite like. It's not just like easy listening and kind of like smooth R&B. Like at times it is quite rough. So yeah, I'm quite excited to, you know, really delve into this a bit more, because I'm sure like there's so many tracks here that I'll have heard, like that I heard the first time. I'm like, okay, but need to kind of that will grow on me a lot, I guess. So yeah, quite excited by it.
Yeah,
initially.
Yeah, I'm super excited by it too, mate. I just think there's so much to unpack here. Like, you know, 18 tracks, it goes to so many places. You get hit with a couple of like real bangers out of the traps, like Homemaker and MBQ, NBPQ, sorry. I think it, both great. A little kind of ethereal vocal interjection on Is This Real? Kiara, like you say, is great. Selfish Soul, which is maybe, which I think is the sort of big single of this record, and more kind of Athena era and Come My Way sort of era leaning. It feels as violins take center stage. I love Chevy S10 as well. Chevy S10 has got a rude little bass line on the end of it. And I was thinking, like, when it does that beat switch at the end, like, I think Beyonce would be proud. It's like, you know, that could fit, that little morsel, that little soundbite there could come right off of Renaissance and you wouldn't bat an eye. It's really, really good banger, but sort of silky and smooth and sounds amazing. I just think when I look through the track list here, even having only spent like a weekend with this album, like I just remember so much about it. And actually that speaks volumes in itself. Like there's so many little moments in the track list that pop out. Named a few there. Copycat, I really love. Freakalyze, like you say, and Homesick is a great one too. I love the kind of silkier, smoother back end of the album is really good. And even like right down to the last minutes, like 513 at the end, I really like just kind of unique little bit of production on that. Really great production work. Really nifty composition all the way through. I think my only kind of reservation with it is OMG Brit, which I just feel like is a little bit too cliche. And I feel like the album is most successful when Sudan Archives is treading that line between like the clear identity that she seemed to have on Come My Way. And also having gone back to Athena, the album, the debut album that preceded this, definitely on that with the kind of, you know, the compositions and vocal delivery, but with kind of intertwined with those strings. When she's balancing that kind of raw organic stuff with the more produced side of things, it's superb. I think that's really good. And I feel just like OMG Brit maybe just crosses the slightly more cliche, less of a fingerprint threshold. I really like it. I really like it. I feel, you know, this is, I sort of think about albums, you know, from artists in kind of hip hop and R&B that have that, you know, that sort of forward thinking, compositional, technical, just supremacy that's kind of driven by, you know, I guess artists like, you know, anyone from like Marvin Gaye, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, etc., like compositionally. And I feel like you could file this album quite comfortably next to albums from the likes of, you know, those sorts of artists. I'm thinking like, you know, people like albums from like Solange and Tyler, the Creator, Frank Ocean, etc. Like not saying like the absolute, you know, the classic era defining status of anything like that. But I'm just saying in terms of the sound, it has that sheen. It has that compositional depth. It has that just sort of kind of wow factor that I don't think you would necessarily bat an eyelid when you put it on or throw it on next to albums of that ilk. You know, I think it's really quite a, you know, quite an achievement. I think it's fantastic so far. Yeah, George, so sort of just your kind of final thoughts on this one, having given it like a kind of first react once over, mate.
Yeah, my take is very much like that of like a once over kind of listen. But like, I don't know, I guess your point about putting it side by side with like Solange and stuff, I think that's actually pretty on point. Like, she is very much her own thing, Sudan Archives. Like, she's coming at it from like quite a unique angle, I think. With the kind of like influences she's melding together, and also like her violin playing is like on her early releases is very much to her advantage in terms of like setting herself apart. But like, I don't know, everything down to like the album cover of this and like the catchiness of a tune like Homemaker, like just lends itself to like being as iconic as something like A Seat at the Table or one of those like sort of like really like iconic albums from the 2010s. You know, like this album and Sudan Archives generally does seem to have the potential to be one of those, like, you know, perhaps like era defining artists, maybe. But yeah, in terms of the album itself, like, I think for me on first listen, I think part of what has contributed to me not going back to it to kind of give it more time is that I found it like it is so eclectic that I actually found it quite jarring. Not that it's like jarring and that it's poorly stitched together or something. I just mean like I was struggling to find a through line for this album. Obviously she is the through line. But I don't know. I suppose I need to kind of relax about that and just kind of give it more time for what it is. You know what I mean? I think I was perhaps expecting like more of a like super clear voice, and that like I sort of couldn't quite find that, and all the kind of bombastic production and the kind of like explosive beats and things like that. Like it's all very interesting and exciting, but like I'm still scrabbling to find like the big personality here, I think, in this music, even though it's technically amazing and like kind of beyond what I can understand in a lot of ways musically. Like it is like, yeah, I don't know. I think that's where I found my like slight like knocking my head against the wall sort of feeling. But yeah, I am determined to properly get into Sudan Archives and give her more time. So certainly will like give this a listen, and like future things she does as well, I'll definitely keep on top of, because like, yeah, I think there's clearly a reason that, I don't know, she's so like backed at the minute, you know, by like clearly she's getting a lot of like promo and like funding and things like that, and deservedly so, you know.
Yeah,
like, it's cool to see her career taking off in the way that it is, I think.
Definitely a really cool trajectory. Like I say, having gone back to Athena, the last album, I was like, yeah, sweet, consider me a Sudan Archives fan. Like, definitely won over, and happy to have, you know, have done the dive and got to know this album and got to know Sudan Archives a little bit better. So yeah, definitely, if it sort of passed you by, because again, you know, I know it's the old Spotify plays are not, you know, the not a, a be all and end all metric, but it's not a massive album, but it certainly is packaged and sounds like one, or sounds like one that could be and should be. So check it out. If it passed you by. That's Sudan Archives with Natural Brown Prom Queen. On to Soft Pink Truth, the Soft Pink Truth, with Is It Going to Get Any Deeper Than This? And that is a question I like to pose to the table, and you at home as well. It's one we can all chew on and mull over. But the question is, and I suppose we are about to find out, is it going to get any deeper than this? George, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one, pal, because you were like, Soft Pink Truth album is out, and... Soft Pink Truth is not someone we've ever covered, barely even spoken about. So, yeah, do you want to just do a little bit of expose?
Yeah, I've always wanted to cover the Soft Pink Truth because I really like his music. He's one half of Matmos, who are a pretty well-respected, critically acclaimed, like, experimental electronic duo. They've released like countless albums at this point. One of their more like famous kind of notorious albums is like an album made entirely out of washing machine samples, and like it's got like a washing machine on the front. You've probably like seen the album cover around, but the thing is with Matmos is like I always really admired what they do, but never like fell head over heels in love with their music, except for like a, you know, some choice cuts or parts of albums that I thought were really interesting. Whereas the Soft Pink Truth, I think, has a real like human heart to the music he's making. And his previous album, which is Shall We Go On Sinning So That Grace May Increase, another album that's a question, and a fantastic album at that. I love that album. It came out in 2020 and was a real balm during lockdown for me. I found it really peaceful, really cinematic piece of music. And yeah, everything about this new album, Is It Going to Get Any Deeper Than This, is kind of packaged as like a sort of sequel to that album, or like a sort of continuation of some of the creative ideas going into it, from the album cover to, yeah, like the very long question album title. It seems like the running theme. And the first single I heard was Wanna Know, which I think was the first single to be released from this, which is like just a really delightful, like sunshiny kind of disco track, but like with a real like kind of stripped back like warmth to it. And I just found it really, really seductive and enjoyable. Like I just really liked it. So yeah, I felt that this album would be a bit of a no-brainer, and perhaps a bit like outside of what we would usually cover, because like I'm thinking of this album more than like Sudan Archives that we were just talking about as like more in our wheelhouse, I suppose. Sudan Archives is like very much like a pop artist who, and of course we cover pop all the time, but like this feels more like an Awake All Hours album. But even so, the fact that it's got so much like disco in it, like I don't know, we cover a lot of like much more like harder things a lot of the time, whereas this is just so like cloudy and pillowy and soft for the most part, and cinematic and ambient. It's got like, yeah, a lot of depth to it, I think. So, yeah. Also, I think for me personally, for me personally, I'm not drawn to disco leaning things that much. I like kind of fiercer electronic music a lot of the time. But for whatever reason, this captures my heart and imagination. What were you going to say, Ali?
I was just going to say, it's funny you say, because I was like, when I heard the first tune and a disco beat comes on, I was like, this is a beat I haven't heard in a long time. A beat that I don't often listen to on this show. Wow, it felt far off and sort of new and like a new distant land that had been discovered. This disco beat that comes in on the opener, what's it called? Deeper. Which is just like this ultra luxurious 11-minute disco kind of like opera, really. It's like there's so much going on. There's so many pieces, so many parts. I was like, yeah, interesting. I genuinely like, and you and me both, George. I mean, like, similarly, I think it's, you know, no mystery that harsher, kind of more, what was the word you used for to explain what type of music,
electronic music? I don't know, like stuff that's a bit more dangerous and sounding, you know, like,
yeah,
a bit evil. We like a bit of evil stuff, don't we? Do a lot of evil.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a change and from Prison that's Religion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is not Prison Religion. This is not Prison Religion. This is not, God, yeah. I mean, yeah.
List. Harris Smith or something. You could,
you could list a few. And a welcome, refreshing breath air for it, I think, as well. It's really nice to cover something like this. And I think with disco, I just haven't quite caught the disco bug yet. And it will come. I know it's going to come. There's gonna be a day.
Disco era.
I'm gonna be well and truly Smith. Yeah, disco era. There's gonna be my disco era. It's a music and a genre I appreciate a lot, but I don't ever quite bloody. You know, Will. You know my comments as I walked past this.
Yeah. What was it again? Backstage? The
selector stage.
The selector stage. Ugh. If you want to hear disco for 12 hours, go and stand there. And that's the reason we don't bring disco into this podcast.
Oh God, yeah, I know. It's a bit of a dark mark against my name, to be honest. The non disco appreciator. And like I say, my disco era is coming. My disco era is coming, and this could bring it. This could bring it. Like I say, I don't know. It's a taste thing. It's just one of those. It's one of those. I'm a techno goblin, and that's my sort of wheelhouse, sort of domain, I suppose. And maybe just I didn't get into disco first. If I had, it would be a different kettle of fish. But there's always time. And yeah, I mean, Soft Pink Truth, disco all over this. Very, yeah. I mean, well, I'll let you get in on this in a minute. Sorry, pal. But like, just, I mean, the big word for this is luxurious. That's a favorite of yours.
It's a luxury album.
I love luxurious is a descriptor. And I, this really, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, you're this stealing my descriptors.
Sorry, mate. So I had to reach for it. It was all I could reach for. What do you think about this, Will?
Yeah, I really like this. It's just so vibrant, dense, detailed, luxurious, obviously. But yeah, I think the thing is with disco, and I think what you probably don't like about disco, well, what I find sometimes an issue with disco is that it can just be a bit boring, can't it? Like, I feel like you just associate it with kind of going to clubs that are a bit kind of crowd pleasery. Like, Because it's just like everyone's quite happy if it's like disco or something. And like sometimes, yeah, it's really fun. But then like sometimes it can just be a bit bland. But this is anything but bland, I would say. This is like, you know, feels like everything here is like really deliberate and thought out and creative. And I think I was like listening to this, I was kind of naturally comparing it to the Daphne album that we reviewed last episode. And that, like, my issue with that was like, oh, I was like, okay, yeah, like a lot of this sounds quite cool and is nice, but it just feels a little bit, it's just not very fleshed out. And maybe like a little bit rushed. Whereas like this in comparison, like everything's so textured and layered. And I feel like just even it's very indulgent. And sometimes maybe I find that gets a little bit too indulgent potentially in the midsection. But then I also like, I kind of like feel like that's the best thing about it, is that it's really indulgent and luxurious. Mm-hmm. So who am I to criticize when it gets very self-indulgent in the like 12 minute psychedelic climax in the middle? Like obviously it's going to be indulgent. Yeah. Like come on.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's yeah, like
I feel on that for sure.
I kind of, the things that I'm not even, yeah, that maybe did put me off at first with this, like I've even like making excuses for them. Like I feel like, yeah, I just really liked a lot of this. It's just very nice, very pretty, very lovely and warm.
Yes. I completely hear what you say about that kind of catch 22 of indulgence. Like how it being indulgent is the best thing about it, but perhaps it can get a little bit too indulgent at times. And I think the centerpiece, I assume you are referring to, mate, Sunwash, the 13-minute kind of physical and sort of, I guess, symbolic centerpiece of the album. Yeah, I found that one, I just found with that track that it takes a long time to travel, not very far or anywhere particularly interesting. Mm. Where some of these other tracks, like for example, the opener, travels so much. There's so many layers going on. It's interesting, the recording process. I understand it was recorded in lockdown and the Soft Pink Truth, sorry, Drew Daniel, was kind of gathered this kind of Zoom band and orchestra of lots of different players and like friends and artists to kind of jam or record to demos and then send the music back. And then he would kind of stitch it all together. And I think it definitely, I can really feel that it has that sort of sampley stitched kind of, I guess kind of decadence that you can maybe get in that way, where you're just loading samples and loading, like, you know, bits of audio on top of each other, stitching them and weaving them together. But I think it's a super cool way to assemble it. I think it's come off really, really well. But that indulgent, that sort of decadence sometimes maybe gets a little too much. However, I too, for the most part, really love this when this is on. Throwing this on in the background, a lovely evening. Oh, it's glorious. It's really glorious and like quite a feat of composition as well. And just, you know, artistry, it's incredibly put together. Yeah, I like it. I liked it. I thought once I got past the disco prejudice in my brain, my tiny brain, in the first track, I was like, yes, okay, here we go. And I tell you what, I love the second track, actually. Le Joie d'Yvonne L'Amour with the Juju vocalist, I understand. Which is really cool. Yeah, that is wicked. That's a real sort of kind of freaky, gothy, disco freak out. And I like it a lot. It's really weird. I think that's really cool. Kind of sounds like kind of like Dark Entries or something. That'd be cool. Yeah, George, tell us a little bit more about how you feel, pal.
Yeah, I really like this a lot. I think I share some of your reservations, especially with Sunwash. That's one of those tracks where when I have it, well, actually the first time I had this on, I was like listening through and I was like, oh, I wonder what track I'm on now. And I'm like, I'm on the same one that I was on like 5 minutes ago. And I'm actually not that thrilled about it. so yeah, I mean, you know, I have pretty high tolerance for long tracks, but something about Sunwash and the way it doesn't do so much. The loop isn't so interesting to justify the 13-minute runtime, or the like various loops it uses, rather. I think there are many highlights here. I think what I like about this is, yes, it's rooted in like disco and kind of like a sort of hedonistic, but like, yeah, plush, kind of luxurious, like sort of aesthetic. I mean, like the track Mood Swing, I realized like the first sound you hear is like the sound of a champagne cork like popping. It's like a little sample. It's really clever. It just goes like boop, and then the track just like glides into being. It's like, nice, really cool. Yeah. I think what's interesting about this as well, like, I found this, like, I think tonally with the last album, which is much more low-key and much less of a party album, much more of like a kind of plaintive, like ambient album, they both use like really specific kind of like modal scales and stuff, and like to sound like really cinematic. Like, I remember, this is kind of a slight tangent, but like when we interviewed Word Color, he was talking about how he was inspired by like the sound of like 80s like Spielberg films and stuff, you know, like the kind of like tone of those film scores and how they have all this wonder and like mystery to them. And I feel like the like, you know, the way Nick uses those sounds in his music is one thing, and then the way the Soft Pink Truth uses something akin to that sound in his is kind of different, but like equally interesting to me. I feel like he uses like this kind of shamelessly joyful and kind of like childlike wonderment at the world and like incorporates it into quite technical house music, basically. You know, I think it's really interesting and like quite bold, and it's not necessarily cool. I think like some of the, like, you know how you say like some of the indulgences just feel a bit too indulgent at times. I think that is kind of it with this album. It's like not like the coolest sounding album ever. It's like quite just like, everything's right with the world. You know, we can just pop some champagne and have a nice time. It's like, you know, it is kind of strange and kind of sits quite oddly, I think, with like the state of the world, you know. But I think that's why I like it. I think it's quite bold in that sense. And yeah, I think individual standouts like La Joie Devant L'Amour is an amazing track. Reminds me a little bit of like Nicolas Jaar or like Dark Side, maybe. Some of his kind of chuggier, like groovier cuts. Also, like, I thought actually there were moments on here that really reminded me of Talk Talk and like some kind of post-rock stuff, like some of the kind of faint like jazz elements and the way like clarinets and horns kind of come in. Really reminds me of like Laughing Stock or Spirit of Eden, some, you know, some of those kind of classic Talk Talk albums. Maybe I got this more on the last album, but like some of the instrumentals remind me of like very early Fortet as well. Just like these kind of chuggy little sample based house grooves that kind of seem to use little like bells and kind of woody bits of percussion all just kind of knocking along. Like there's like at times this has some of that. And I, you know, I enjoy that as well. But yeah, I think this is pretty great. Perhaps a little bloated at times. But yeah, I think even if someone listens to this and they don't like the tone of it and the aesthetic of it, which I think is very much going to be like a taste thing, I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who didn't think this was like a pretty amazing album in terms of like what it's doing musically, and like how ambitious it is. Mm. So I'm a big fan. I think this is lovely. I think this is a really, really cool album.
It's pretty lush.
No, I like it a lot.
Pretty lush.
It is. I'll be putting this on a lot more, I think, definitely. To just soundtrack.
Kind of wish it came out at the start of summer, actually. And that would have been
very much like a nice start of summer album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be. Come 2023.
Yeah.
When spring is breaking through. This is going to hit differently, I think. But for now, it can be a warm embrace on the cold November nights. But yeah, it's really nice. Really, really good. I like it. Soft Pink Truth. Is it going to get any deeper than this? Who knows? Anyways, Aerials of Tina, Cyclorama to finish. Feel free to jump in here, fellas. I don't feel so qualified to do the exposition on this because Aerials of Tina is a name that I see a lot, aware of, but don't have never just got, I was talking about this before we went on air, like never got around to kind of hitting play properly on. George, Will, same for you guys or a bit more of a history?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Aereo Zatina at all. This was my first encounter.
I've been aware of her for some time. I think I discovered her through like the Discwoman connection. She's always released, she also released music via Femme Culture, which is Elka's label. So there's a bit of kind of UK US crossover going on there. And yeah, I kind of discovered her music kind of randomly in like the early days of me getting into like contemporary electronic music. I've always quite liked her like quite rough and ready kind of like slightly unhinged production style. But I just, I've always thought she has a really good ear for like riffs basically. And I think this album, which I think is her debut album, like LP, she's released plenty of EPs and singles before. I feel like this is a really good example of like lots of really great riffs and little kind of like techno sketches and stuff like that. A pretty functional album, Cyclorama is, in a lot of ways. Not that it's without heart, but it's very like tools for the club. Pretty much for its entire runtime. I don't think you're going to find any, as far as I can remember, there are no like indulgent 13-minute ambient interludes in this one. A lot of these are just kind of bangers, really. There's tracks with Violet, pretty loved and respected member of the dance music community. Tracks with Bored Lord as well, who's amazing. Both of those tunes are great. Those collaborations, I particularly like the Violet one, the Bird Flight Tonight track. I think it's really pretty, but also kind of groovy and just, I don't know, rowdy as well. Yeah, I mean, this is not an album I've like listened to as deeply as like the Soft Pink Truth album. It doesn't have that like multi-layered, multifacetedness to it. It kind of reminds me more of like if you'd listen to like a House of Alta album or something, you know, like you're getting like club cuts all the way through. You know, and I feel like this does a similar thing to what an album from that camp would sound like. And I'm not mad. I think this is really fun. Just really banging tracks throughout. Like it's sort of like a club EP, but just more of it, you know. I feel like this would be as at home in like sort of a Bandcamp basket section as it would album reviews, to be honest. But I, you know, I really do think Aereo Zatina is a cool presence in dance music. And I think, yeah, that she's been kind of working in the scene with like Discwoman and figures like that. And like sort of being a pretty like prominent figure in like the kind of global queer like underground scene. Yeah, there's like kind of very little not to like here, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, well put, mate. Will, what do you think about this record, mate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like a load of complex thoughts on this because, as you said, George, it is, you know, very much a club album. I thought it was quite, there was some like quite weird moments on it that sort of stood out. Like chases, I found quite strange and jaunty. But yeah, I think there were some proper bangers on this. Smooch track was probably one of my faves. That one's like really bouncy. And it's like it's quite nice because I feel like on this it's very clubby, but then you can also kind of get like that sort of hyper poppy feel to it as well. Smoke Machine was another one I really liked. And then some of the ones, was it Gemstone? Who's featured on Gemstone? Has that got a feature? Because I like the vocals on that one.
Mia Arevalo, it says. Not an artist I'm familiar with.
Yes. Well, I liked the vocals on that one. I really did not like the vocals on Slab of Meat. That was a bit too Aya sort of levels of discomfort.
I thought that as well. I did think, oh, Will's not going to like that one.
Yeah, for me, intense.
But yeah, there's some, so like some of those moments, I was a bit like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's very much like a kind of club ready EP, but longer, as you said, George. And then there are also some kind of like weirder moments, but it's not quite, it doesn't feel like it delves deep enough into that. So I'm not really sure like quite what, how to quantify this album. But yeah, there's some bits that I really like. Mainly just the kind of club ready stuff, I would say though. Which is most of it.
I guess, but I think my sort of initial experience with this one was skewed slightly from having spent a lot of time with Zidane Archives and the Soft Pink Truth, both having that soft, very soft, kind of melodious kind of quality to them. And then getting hit with like that opening riff on Cyclorama, which is just like that brash, really kind of dry three note, like, I was just like, oh my God, I'm not sure what my brain initially was like, I was so kind of wrapped up in like sort of neo soul and beautiful, luxurious disco that my brain initially was like a knife to my brain, that the brashness and the kind of brightness of it. That was merely just like a kind of experience, sort of environmental sort of factor. And I think I'm going to enjoy this a lot more with sort of that kind of once removed from the kind of almost this review section, listening back to this after that and just kind of like enjoying those oddities and the brashness, you know, the kind of the get up and go of these riffs and the get up and go of these tracks a lot more. I really like Tropical Depression, the last track. That one really stood out, really kind of out there, strange loop, really kind of harsh, brash again, but like, yeah, super kind of driving. I do find myself kind of, I know, Will, you've had averse feelings to this, but I really find myself kind of drawn sort of slightly perversely to Slab of Meat. Like, I find Slab of Meat like a real kind of... I was walking back from Tesco and, you know, and you're sort of listening to music and it's going in, but you haven't really heard it. And then all of a sudden I was like, I heard the lyrics properly for the first time in that. I was like, sent shivers down my spine. It was like sort of like being like a slab of meat forgotten in the freezer. I was like, this is really weird, really kind of really interesting, like super kind of smothering and scary and ultra claustrophobic. I love how that track just kind of holds you in that loop. Like, you know, it's got that kind of broken techno beat and that vocal. And you think that the vocal is going to maybe like evolve, go somewhere else, but it just goes again. It's that kind of horrible, cyclical, kind of nauseating, sort of smothering vocal approach, which I found captivating in a kind of nasty way and liked it. I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah. Mm. I agree, George, with what you were kind of set your whole exposition on that being like, I mean, club cuts mainly, like it really serves as a quite a functional EP, but it's got a lot of colour and character. The collaborations are great. I actually didn't clock the Violet collaboration. That's awesome. Boardlord, etc. Mm. Just Ariel Zatina as a presence in club culture and, you know, with Discwoman, etc. Associations, that's just really awesome. And I guess I say club music is a bit more colourful with music and artists like Ariel Zatina in it. That's cool. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to return to this. And I feel like definitely some tools in here, some for the USBs, definitely. Some really kind of odd, whacked out club moments that are going to be striking and going to catch everybody off guard and sort of throw people for, not people for six, I suppose. The Cyclorama by Ariel Zatina. And that concludes our lead reviews for today. Just maybe a quick album shout out roulette. And I mean, really quick, we're talking like literally a few words on a couple of other albums that have come out, a couple of other records that have come out. Guys, does anybody want to jump in with something here?
You start.
I've forgotten what we're doing. You start.
Cool. So I'll kick things off. So one of the ones that we wanted to talk about was Burial. Briefly.
Oh, yeah.
Big oh, yes. Burial.
Oh, that guy.
Got about him.
He always pops up. And, you know, he always needs a little slot somewhere, Burial. I suppose with Burial, are there going to be many surprises? Maybe not. Maybe Burial sounds like Burial at this point. I can't remember what our kind of consensus was on the album. I think it was kind of that, wasn't it? It was like, Burial's gone ambient, sounds like Burial, and it could either be really excellent or kind of just Burial by numbers and you could get a bit tired of it, Or you could be like, this is genius and I love it. And I guess that's sort of the area that Burial occupies these days. You know, reliable, sort of always extraordinary, but always a little bit predictable as well. I don't know how you guys felt about this EP.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely like when you listen to it in the... but Burial these days is very much... you have to be in the right mood to appreciate it. Like, I'm not just going to whack Hospital Chapel on first thing in the morning or at the pre's. maybe at the very end of the afters, if it gets to that stage, you need a bit of Hospital Chapel. Yeah. But I think that my favorite thing about this EP might actually be just like the title of that track. Like, that is just such a quintessential Burial track.
Yeah.
Hospital Chapel.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Exactly.
But he's very good
it
at
it. Like, if there was like a Burial, like a Burial track name generator, yeah. Hospital Chapel would be undoubtedly in that.
Yeah. And this one is like, that tune is, it's like the most kind of spacious, ambient Burial tune I've ever heard, I think. I don't know. It's like, it's 8 minutes, and then at the end you're like, bloody hell, what even happened? It's like just like a few choral swells, and then like, but I do like how you go through this EP and it kind of becomes busier and a bit more interesting. Like, I do like Streetlands, and Exokind has some like really cool moments. Like, I like that kind of chanting that comes in like halfway through, and then it gets proper like evil and menacing with some like quite big and loud chord swells. So yeah, they're still the swelling chords, but they've just gotten a bit louder at this point from the first one. So yeah,
it's got bigger and louder.
It's not it didn't blow my mind, but yeah, it's, you know, always. There's like, it's always the thing is when you put like a Burial EP of late or album on in the right settings, like, and you're properly like listening to it, there's always going to be moments where you're like, wow, this feels like an incredible kind of like moment amongst like the sludge. And yeah, this EP does have a few of those moments.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think, again, just no one can conjure atmosphere like Burial, and no one sounds like, but still nobody has ever really like come close to sort of replicating, or, you know, somebody's sort of tried. I mean, maybe people sort of tried a bit, but it's just singular, you know, singular and atmospheric, just in an unbelievable way. And that is, I'm always like, well, this is going to be that. And it always is. And that's always quite exceptional. But sometimes, yeah, it's the path well trodden with Burial in terms of the sound. And as you say, you could have predicted there was going to be a track called Hospital Chapel before we even knew this EP existed. But we love, that's what we're here for. You can't pretend that you don't love it. And everyone's going to lap this up. Everyone loves Burial. Lap it up, I suppose. Like a cat to hot milk. we are, but cats to Burial. George, have you clocked this one at all? Have you listened to it?
Yeah, I've listened to it a little bit. Yeah, it's certainly not a world away from what he did on his last album EP thing. I mean, I do really like ambient Burial. I feel like I maybe have a bit more patience for it than you guys. I don't know. Like, I think it's sort of like it is potentially becoming a bit formulaic at this point. Like how, Will, you said you can basically predict all the elements of this track, even down to the track title before you've even heard it. Like, that's actually pretty accurate, I would say. But he does just seem to have this bank of sounds that just always work very well together. And like, he's just like got it kind of down to a T at this point. And nothing is like, nothing, no, for a few feelings compare. Like, you've been out and you've got to get from East London to South London, and you're alone, and you get on the night bus and curl up in the corner and try not to make eye contact with anyone, and you listen to an EP like this, like the hollow ecstasy you feel is unparalleled.
That is the truth. Yeah. That is the gospel there, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, you're trying to avoid the terrors of the night bus. So he does capture a vibe that is ridiculously specific, but one that a situation I find myself in more often than I care to admit.
No, I mean, majestic. He is a majestic little producer, isn't he? He's unreal. And I did, the one that really stood out for me is Streetlands. 14 minutes. 14 minutes in Streetlands. I'm like, yeah, this has got these those little it's the vocals for me. When Burial does a vocal right, which he has been known to do, sort of made a name on it, but when he does a vocal right, and as you say, that just that collage of sounds, and when it's just those little placed, little Easter egg vocals where you this other world, like some angel just popping through the ether and having a little word with you in your ear, is, yeah, like you say, he creates a feeling that you can't find anywhere else, whether that be cowering at the back of a night bus or excitedly awaiting a little angel vocal. So it's Burial. It's Burial. He's good. He's really good. 96 back. George, do you want to bring this one in quickly?
Yeah. Cute Melody, Window Down, the new album from 96 back on Local Action. It's kind of a pretty kooky, kind of like eclectic mix of like some like kind of housier tracks, some more like hyper pop leaning tracks, some bits that remind me of Lorenzo Senni, some of that kind of beatless, like trancey stuff. It's very colorful, very bright, even some kind of like chiptune leaning moments on here. It kind of, a lot of the sounds on here certainly like tie in with the kind of previous stuff I've heard from 96 back, though I have to say I haven't actually listened to a release of his for a while, like before this album. Like, it had been a while since I checked in with what he was doing. I have not spent an awful lot of time with this. I plan on spending some more time with it, but my first impression is I quite like it. I think the hyperpop moments on it, like Fresh Face at the end, which to my memory is the only one with like a vocal on it, I might be wrong, they're not the most original, perhaps. They do remind you of A.G. Cook or whoever, and you just think, oh, it just sounds a bit like that person, or Sacred Bodega or whatever. Like, you kind of get the picture. But that's not to say it's not high quality, because it is, and the production's really on point, I would say. I think maybe the thing that works about this album for me, for the most part, is that like it's like a mix, so like it doesn't get stuck on this slightly more hyperpop leaning thing for too long. You know, you have some more like chuggy club cuts on here and things like that. Like it does kind of segue some kind of like slightly dubbier ones as well, like Lounge 2, the opener, kind of a bit of a halftime thing going on. Like, yeah, it's a strange like kind of over the top album. You can tell he's had a lot of fun making this, and that is very infectious when you're listening to it. But yeah, I definitely need to I feel like I need to swim in it a bit more before I come through with a real take. But enjoying, broadly speaking, it's cool, and
nice.
It's nice to see 96 back doing another album. I think he's done an album before. I don't think this is his debut, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, there was a past one. I forget the name. It had a very, very, very colourful cover.
Yes.
Greens and pinks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I forget the name of it. But
have you guys listened to this one much?
I gave it the once over.
Yeah, I gave it the once and over too.
Liked.
Yeah.
Liked. Nice. Like you say, very much the mixtape vibe. Very much
the mixtape vibe. That's what I was trying to say.
I found.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the mixtape vibe, and I feel like it was. In some ways, that frustrates me a little bit. Sometimes that feel where it's a bit more like, sometimes here's an idea, some things are not so fleshed out. It's not so kind of cohesive and things like that. Mm. But there were some really great moments. I think the more kind of playful techno drum tool-y stuff I really liked a lot. I think 96 back is a super impressive producer. Really impressive. I think had his like debut, I'd like a debut record on like central processing unit as well. Like started out like really like Sheffield electro, and then like has kind of turned into this sort of unique producer maestro, really. Yeah. That's very cool. It's very cool. It's worth spinning. Definitely. It's worth giving a spin, I think. Well, what do you think of that one?
Yeah, same boat. I thought it sounded a lot of fun, but yeah, maybe a little bit disjointed. But yes, as you say, it's quite weird because I hadn't listened to anything from 96 back for a while since, like, I think you bought in one of his EPs, like on one of the really early episodes, George. And like even then, like feels like quite a shift to now, you know? Like I don't remember it being that being like a hyper poppy EP, really. It kind of surprised me when I listened to this. But yeah, quite liked it. Thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it seems like an ever evolving producer, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I love the sort of sentiment of cute melody, window down.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a nice, that's a nice sort of
we can all get behind, isn't it?
A motto to live by, for sure. I want to just very, very quickly talk about a couple. Isabella Love Story and Moyne. Start with Isabella Love Story. Missed this completely. Then read a very, very good Resonant Advisor Breaking Through article on Isabella Love Story. And the album is called Amore Hardcore. And this is just some really very, 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 very kind of, again, I'll use the brash word. I'm liking that word today. Brash, kind of heavy, down and dirty, sexy reggaeton. And it's really good, with a great personality in Isabella Love Story. If you, seems like the sort of, I mean, I get maybe painfully obvious comparison that my limited brain and understanding of reggaeton as a genre, is maybe having to make. But if you like Rosalía, then this is kind of the most Rosalía at her most reggaeton, but more kind of wild and sort of unhinged. I suppose that would be my very, very, very simplistic sort of take from it. But it's really fun. It's just so fun. And from what I can understand, Isabella Love Story is quite a phenomenon within that sort of scene and culture. And really, you know, really get a lot of attention, really making a stir. So worth checking out if you're into that sort of thing. Super fun. And Moyne, the complete opposite thing from sort of Rosalía joyous reggaeton to kind of Slint and Black Country New Road vibes on the new Moyne album. I've forgotten what it's called now. It's on 8093. Paste. Thanks, George. Paste. Yes. This is really cool, though. I found myself liking this a lot. I think, again, Slint just seems like the big one to go to just because it's dirgy guitars. There's lots of wide open spaces. There's lots of kind of dirgy spoken word, introspect, paranoia, existentialist vibes sort of throughout this. But it sounds great. And it's a really interesting little record on the 8093 discography. Again, discography I just want to live in. As I've said before on this podcast, there's so much good stuff in there. And there's always something new. There's always something interesting. But yeah, if you're into your kind of art rock, post rock sort of thing, Moyne are well worth a listen. And this album's got a load of personality, some great guitar playing, some great kind of hooks, some great drums from the fantastic drummer who is called, I'm going to find her name quickly. It just slips my mind. And will I be able to find the name? Almost certainly not. I want to go with Valentina Magdalena, also works with Al Wooten as part of another act that has completely slipped my mind, but incredible sort of virtuosic drummer, with just real sort of restraint, artistry, serving the music brilliantly. It's just fantastic. It's very unique and really, really stand out. I like it a lot. Been giving that a couple of spins. Anything else you want to throw in here, guys, before we move on to and finish with my Bandcamp basket? Shall we dive in?
I don't think I have any other albums.
Let's go for it.
I did think maybe Moyne and 96 Back should swap album covers. Just like, if you think about it.
Yeah, that could be cool. Have like a little album
cute
cover
melody
swap.
Window down. Isn't that someone in a car with the window down? And then the kind of grimy, dirty, smudgy, like on the floor thing of the 96 Back.
Yeah,
it's almost like
the floor.
It's like their album cover's got mixed up
Yeah.
Somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
Maybe you should suggest it to them.
Yeah, it's anyway, true. It's true.
Yeah. I think that's a really good idea. And they'll definitely respond well to that.
He'll be thrilled. He'll be thrilled to get the message.
I listened to half of the Moyne album and I really liked it as well, Ali. In all seriousness, I thought it was
nice.
It was good. Grungy sort of reminds me of like sort of a little bit Nirvana or something. I don't know. It's like just so like,
yeah, it's got that. It's got all that good stuff in it. Yeah. Like all that good stuff and then some different stuff in there as well. Yeah. It's just a really cool little project. I would like to catch Moyne live if they come around. All the good stuff and some different stuff. That's what you come for. That's what you've been coming back for 60 episodes for, everybody, if you have been coming back. That sort of cutting insight. Scathing intellect there. Apologies.
I love that.
That leads us. We end, as we always, and as we must, as we always do, with what's in my Bandcamp basket, the section of the show where we just basically get a chance to talk about anything that we couldn't talk about in the previous hour and a quarter. Smaller bits, club-ready records, Bandcamp bits and pieces, you know the drill. You know the drill. Okay. Doing the deep dive off of Bandcamp in the hope to find some nifty tunes. And, boys, what have you both got in your Bandcamp basket today? Sorry, I should have distinguished who could go first, but feel free to dive.
Which boy?
Feel free to dive in.
I'll go first.
Which boy?
I've got DJ Pleed with his quick EP on Liberty Sound. This is really, really good. I like this a lot. It's quite like slow and swingy and smooth and seductive, and it's just like packed full of earworms. The opener, Come Quick, it's like really fun. It's got like this like really jaunty piano riff that kind of carries the tune, and then it's got like so many like weird little like vocal whoops and like just weird little oddities throughout it. But then, like, I think my favorite is probably the second track, Lauka. It's so earwormy. It's got like such an infectious melody. And then LS as well is great. I mean, the whole thing's great. LS has got like this really weird, like, I don't know what it is. It's a sound that DJ Pleed uses quite a lot. This like weird sort of synthetic-y trumpet thing. But yeah, this is really great. I really like it. It's like, yeah, I feel like I've never heard, I mean, obviously it's very rare that you hear like a dance record that it is this kind of like slower BPM. Like I feel like it's like around 100, but it's just so danceable and groovy. I love it. It's great.
Nice. Sorry,
I thought someone was going to go up.
Are we doing it like three? So
are we doing it all together?
We just Let's rattle them off.
I'm going to rattle them off.
Give us a few more.
I really hope you keep that silence in. That was beautiful. All right. And next, I'm going to go for Manifesto with Barricade on Shall Not Fade. It's been a while since I've bought something off Shall Not Fade in. Manifesto. Big, rowdy, breaksy tunes. I really like the Addison Groove remix of the title track, which is called Barricade. That one is like, it's got the big, punchy, breaksy number, breaksy elements of the first track, the original. But then it's just kind of like really wobbly and weird, like as Addison Groove often is. And then I'm going to shout out this single, which came out in September, I think. It's one of those unknown, untitled ones. I don't know if you guys heard it. I literally heard it because I was just scrolling through Instagram and then an advert came up for it. And I like heard the like 4-second clip, and I was like, oh, that is really earwormy. It's like, this tune, it's quite bizarre. It feels like it's just been taken from like an alternate universe where like Lone or Bicep came up with this melody, and it was like basically like as big as Just or Glue or something. It's like really, really catchy. It actually sounds quite a bit like the Just melody, I think. But it's like, yeah, well, like kind of vocal chopped, sort of like post dubstepy. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And then finally, I'm actually just going to shout out, it's not really a Bandcampy tune, but the new Sleaford Mods Orbital tune is so huge.
Oh my God.
I love it. Have you heard it yet, Ali?
Is it big? I've not heard it yet. No.
It's massive. No. It's so massive. It just makes me want to hear more Jason Williamson on like just big rave anthems, because the hook is huge.
Oh, I bet that's amazing.
It's great. It's called, Dirty Rat. And yeah, it's really bloody good. I really want to hear this at like a
great
festival. I think it would.
Did you say it was Sleaford Mods and Orbital? Oh, that
dream collaboration.
Yeah. I'm checking that out.
And I think I have reason to believe there is a new Orbital album coming, isn't there?
Oh, really?
That's
okay.
Like the whole.
Oh, fun.
There is. It's on its way, so we will be sure to cover that as well if that's on there too.
Oh, yes.
But definitely, I mean, goes out. I mean, Orbital. Yeah, we'll definitely cover that. Yeah, sick. That sounds great. Check that out. Also, on the Jason Williams note, I finished Peaky Blinders, all of Peaky Blinders last night, and Jason Williamson just pops up in that as well.
Really?
As a preacher.
Well, how bizarre.
Yeah, he's just a preacher on the street. It's one of the most surreal moments of my entire life, was just seeing Jason Williamson just sort of walking about the streets of Smallheath in 1930, whatever. It's weird. Yeah, so fair play to Jason. He gets around and he's doing his thing, and we love him. George, what do you have in your basket?
I'm going to start off with a release from a relatively young Bristol label called Supersonic Booty Bangers. This one is an EP by Audio Gutter featuring Samurai Breaks and We Rob Rave. It's well fun. It's just like so over the top. It's like six amazing tracks of mayhem, like mutant hard bass and kind of like footworky inspired bits. It's really silly. It's like if there was an EP that, well, or rather if there was a festival that the tracks on this EP would be especially at home at, it would be Bangface Weekender, hands down. Easily. This is really fun. I really like the track Break Stunts, for the kind of mad break choppage in it, and also the Insomniacs Anonymous We Rob Rave remix, which is the last track on the EP. It's just so fun. So many just like deep, like super bright, kind of harsh like bass presets. Yeah, really fun and stupid and good. I really like it. Similarly fun and stupid and good is the new Yazus EP Black Metropolis on Trezor, which fucking slaps for
Christ.
in much, you know, like not quite as like cheeky and silly as the aforementioned Audio Gutter EP, but more just like ruthless and raw, I would say. I do like Metro City Bay Area quite a bit. That's a lot of fun. I really like that track. And I think just the like outrageousness of this EP, like, I don't know, the fact that it's on Trezor, I think is like really cool.
Yeah,
like
that's awesome.
putting an EP like this by Yazus, who's such an incredible DJ, who I've seen twice and loved both times. Like, yeah, just really good. Everyone should buy this. 5 tracks, €5, well worth your money. And yeah, just like really fun, cool. Really fun, like party techno. And finally, something a bit more toned down, actually. An EP on Intercept, which is a Netherlands-based label that releases a lot of really colourful, like kind of futuristic, quite trance-oriented, like modern electronic music. This is a sort of remix EP of an EP by Ineffect that has two Oceanic remixes on it, or two Oceanic Patchworks, as they're called. The EP is called Cora, Oceanic Patchworks. And both of Oceanic's reworks are like really lovely and kind of a bit like Barker-esque, kind of like pulsing, like kind of arpeggios and like vocal chops and stuff like that, like really lovely pillowy sort of sounds. And then the kind of like two later tracks like lean slightly more heavily into the kind of trancey, in the trancey direction, slightly more, I don't know, maybe not even far off what I was talking about with that 96 Back album, actually, like just really bright synths and like kind of color and melody. So yeah, that's a bit of a contrast to the last two EPs, but those are the three things that I'm probably going to cop at some point because they're all really great in their own respective ways.
Sounds glorious. Trezor, Yazzus, ugh, God.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting. Can't wait to check that out. Yes, Living Patterns by Polygonia. Is that first for me? I love Polygonia. Really, really love Polygonia. I think sort of most things now by Polygonia are just instant, like, okay, I'm going to check that out. I'm probably going to buy that. Just absolute stalwart of the really cerebral, deep, hypnotic techno sound. And this EP, I think, like, this is really something. Living Patterns, like, seems like Polygonia has kind of, I don't know, you know, maybe just struck gold with how mastering her craft and this particular strain of deep hypnotic techno on this, just kind of turned out six tracks of just the high grade, swirly, deep, rolling, immaculately produced techno for your headphones, techno for your mind, techno for your body, techno for your soul. This is really, really good from, yeah, someone who is always excellent, but it just seems like this is a really, really, really sort of standout EP from a master of her craft. Brilliant if you're into that sort of thing. On a similar sort of tip, I'm on the kind of swirly, cerebral techno tip this week with Flowing With Honey by Small Crab, Dublin-based producer on Mary Montexier's label. What's it called? Paria. Oh, butchered that. P-A-R-Y-I-A. Again, just really brilliant, detailed, beautiful building and exquisitely crafted and constructed. Techno, yeah, bit of halftime, bit of breaks, all that business as well. It's lovely. It's really, really good, really strong from a seeming up-and-comer, I think, and one to keep an eye on. And finally, Steffi returns. God bless. Sweet Steffi. I think this is on, by the way, the label is on Candy Mountain, which Steffi runs with, a kind of relatively new label, with Virginia. Two names, Steffi and Virginia, who I think are really unsung heroes of the kind of Oscar Ton roster. Some really important records in like the sort of like mid-2010s, etc. Really interesting sort of take on electro and sort of deep house. And I think that this album, which is an album, 10 tracker, just seems like it's going to take and draw upon all of those influences, all of those sounds for something really special. And it's just great to see Steffi back. Steffi's always someone I'm like, you're great. Your productions are amazing. And you're a great DJ. And more Steffi in the world. It's what we want. Deep electro goodness. And yeah, that's all we have time for. We have exhausted our pots for today, but there will be more. There always is. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. George, Will, thanks so much, guys. Happy 60th, aww, fellas.
Happy appreciate 60th, it. 60th to you.
Yeah.
Nearly at retirement age.
Cheers. This has been lovely. And yeah, stay tuned if you have gotten to the end of this for a potential little special that we're going to do to celebrate 15 years of Ilian Tape Records, as maybe a little part two to this. Stay tuned. As always, also stay tuned for George's companion mix to this episode, Mix Series 60, when that drops. And if you want to hear sort of bits and pieces that we've talked about for yourself, or just go and check them out as well in your own time, which we strongly recommend for all of the above. Have a blessed day, have a blessed week, and thank you so much for your time and for your support as always. See you on the next one, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.